Okay, get ready to bundle up, everyone.
Because we are diving into a potential weather maker today, a lake effect snowstorm that's about to hit the Great Lakes. Especially New York State, we've got a press release from Governor Hochul, local news articles, and even some national coverage, and it all points to some serious, potentially historic snowfall. We're talking feet of snow, not inches, and the possibility of thunder snow. Plus, these intense snow bands that are being compared to fire hoses. You with me?
Absolutely, yeah. It's fascinating to see how all the elements are aligning for this event. We've got this clash of temperatures, cold air masses moving over relatively warm lake waters, and that's the engine behind these intense localized snowfalls.
Okay, so let's break this down. I'm picturing like a fire hose blasting snow, but how does that even happen?
Well, that's a great way to visualize it. It's all about how the lake effect works. The air over the Great Lakes is still relatively warm. The reports say it's hovering around 47 to 50 degrees. Meanwhile, we've got this blast of frigid air coming in with temperatures in the 30s. That difference in temperature is key.
So what happens when these two air masses collide?
Think of it. Think of it like a pot of boiling water. The warm, moist air over the lake rises rapidly, like steam. As it's heated from below and chilled from above, these rising plumes of air can reach heights of 20,000 feet. As the air rises and cools, the moisture condenses and forms snow. But because these plumes are so focused and intense, the snow falls in these narrow bands, like a fire hose pointed at a specific area.
That makes sense. And these narrow bands explain why some areas get hammered with snow, while others, just a few miles away, see hardly anything, right?
Precisely. That hyperlocal nature is one of the things that makes lake effect snow so challenging to forecast. You could have one neighborhood buried in 3 feet of snow and a few blocks over. They might just get a dusting.
Wow, that's incredible. And I've heard the term thunder snow thrown around. Is that something we might see with this storm? What even is thunder snow?
Thunder snow. Thunder snow is definitely a possibility with these intense lake effect systems. That's basically what it sounds like. Lightning and thunder happening during a snowstorm.
Okay, that sounds pretty wild. How does that even work? I thought lightning was more of a summer thunderstorm thing.
It is unusual, but it's all about the conditions within the storm. You need that powerful upward motion of air, like what we're seeing with this lake effect setup. And then you need a mix of different types of precipitation particles, like snow crystals and ice pellets, colliding within the cloud. That can create static electricity, just like in a thunderstorm.
Yeah.
And boom, you get lightning, thunder, and snow all at once.
Now, you mentioned that forecasting these lake effect events can be tricky. Why is that?
Well, as we've discussed, the snow bands are very narrow and can shift rapidly, depending on wind direction. Even a slight change in wind can mean the difference between a few inches of snow and several feet. Plus, the intensity of the snowfall can change quickly, too. So predicting exactly where and when the heaviest snow will hit is a real challenge.
I can imagine. So turning to Governor Hochul's press release, it sounds like the state is taking this storm very seriously.
Absolutely. They're mobilizing resources and preparing for a significant impact, especially in Western New York.
Yeah, this press release is packed with details. It mentions that the National Guard is being deployed. And there's a lot of talk about travel bans. What's the thinking behind those measures?
It's all about public safety. Travel bans help prevent people from getting stranded on the roads during dangerous conditions. And deploying the National Guard allows them to assist with things like search and rescue, clearing roads, and providing support to communities that are hit hardest.
That makes sense. It sounds like they're pulling out all the stops to be ready for whatever this storm throws at them.
They are. And there are some interesting details in the press release that highlight the scale of the preparation. Did you know they have over 1,600 large plow trucks ready to go?
Wow, 1,600. That's a lot of trucks.
It is. And they're not just relying on local crews. They're bringing in additional plow drivers from other parts of the state to help with snow removal. They're also emphasizing the importance of these new green hazard lights that they've installed on thruway snowplows.
I read about those. Are those supposed to be more visible than the traditional amber lights?
That's the idea. They're designed to cut through the snow and low visibility conditions more effectively, making it easier for drivers to see the plows, especially in whiteout situations.
It's all about safety, right? They want to prevent accidents and make sure the roads are clear as quickly as possible.
Exactly. And speaking of how much snow we're expecting, the snowfall predictions are pretty dramatic. The news articles highlight how varied those totals can be, even within a small area.
Yeah, it's crazy. Some places are bracing for feet of snow, while others might just get a dusting. I read that Buffalo's southern suburbs could see 1 to 2 feet, but a bit south. In western Chautauqua and southern Erie counties, they're predicting 3 to 4 feet.
And if you think that's a lot, remember Watertown. Those areas could see 4 to 5 feet or even more. It really drives home the point of how localized and intense those snow bands from the fire hose effect can be. Imagine living just a mile from the band center and experiencing completely different conditions.
It's wild. This is definitely not your average snowstorm. You can't just shovel the walkway and call it a day. So with all that in mind, what are some key things people should do to prepare? The sources are full of tips, but what really stands out?
The biggest thing is to avoid unnecessary travel. If you don't have to be out on the roads, stay home. But if you absolutely have to go out, make sure your car is stocked with a winter survival kit.
Okay. What should that include, besides the obvious? Like warm clothes?
Think about what you'd need if you got stranded for a few hours, or even a day. Pack blankets, extra hats and gloves, a flashlight with extra batteries, a shovel, some high-energy snacks, and bottled water. You never know how long you could be stuck. Mm-hmm. You could get caught in a whiteout, or if the roads become impassable.
Great point. And I noticed a lot of emphasis on driving cautiously in these conditions. What are some things drivers should keep in mind, besides the obvious? Like slowing down.
Leave plenty of space between your car and the vehicle in front of you. Remember, stopping distances are much longer on snow and ice. Also, be extra aware of your surroundings, especially at intersections. Snowdrifts can make it hard to see pedestrians or other vehicles, and those low visibility conditions make it extra challenging.
Oh, that's scary. I hadn't even thought about that. And of course, we can't forget about the snowplows. They'll be working around the clock to clear the roads, but they have their own limitations.
Right. Absolutely. Snowplows have limited visibility, and those heavy, wet snowflakes can create whiteout conditions in a matter of minutes. The safest place to be is well behind a plow, not trying to pass or get too close. Remember those green lights we talked about earlier? They're designed to help you see the plow better in low visibility conditions, so pay close attention to them.
So stay back, stay alert, and let those plow drivers do their thing.
Exactly. The sources also emphasize the importance of staying informed. Check local forecasts regularly and sign up for any emergency alerts from your local government.
Because things can change so quickly with these lake effect bands.
Precisely. You might wake up to a light dusting and then find yourself in a full-blown blizzard a few hours later. Staying informed about road closures, power outages, and any other safety concerns is crucial.
Now, reading through these news articles, I'm struck by the fact that some areas could see upwards of 3 to 5 feet of snow, while places just a mile away might see hardly any accumulation at all. It's almost hard to fathom.
That's the fascinating and sometimes dangerous thing about lake effect snow. It's all about those narrow, intense bands driven by wind direction. And the temperature difference between the lake and the air, even a tiny shift in wind direction, can mean a huge difference in snowfall amounts just a few miles apart.
So if you're in one of the areas that's likely to be hit hard by this storm, what are some concrete steps you can take to be prepared?
The first thing is to make sure you have multiple ways to get information about weather conditions. Don't just rely on one source. Check local news, weather apps, and the National Weather Service website. And as we said, sign up for any emergency alerts from your local government.
And what about supplies? Is it too late to stock up if you haven't already?
It's never too late to be prepared. If you're in an area expecting heavy snow, make sure you have enough food, water, and any necessary medications to last for at least a few days, just in case you lose power or can't get out.
And don't forget about your furry friends. Make sure your pets have enough food and water. And a warm place to stay, too.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. It's easy to overlook those things in an emergency. It's always a good idea to have a plan in place with family or neighbors in case you need help or have to evacuate.
So beyond stocking up on supplies, what else can people do to be prepared? I feel like there's a bigger picture here.
Right. Absolutely. This lake effect storm highlights the importance of individual preparedness, but it also makes you think about community resilience as a whole.
Okay. I like where you're going with this. Break it down for me.
Well, it starts with awareness. We need to understand the risks and potential impacts of extreme weather, not just in general terms, but specifically for the area we live in. Are we prone to flooding? Power outages? What kind of resources are available if something happens?
So do a little research. Maybe talk to local emergency management folks.
Exactly. Knowing your vulnerabilities is crucial. And then it comes down to those personal preparations we talked about. Having a plan, stocking up on supplies, making sure you can stay informed. But it goes beyond that, too. It's about building those community connections, knowing your neighbors, and being willing to help each other out.
Because when a storm like this hits, it's often our neighbors who are the first responder.
Right.
They're the ones who might be able to check in, lend a hand, or share a resource.
Precisely. Yeah. That's why strong, connected communities are so resilient. They can come together and support each other, even when facing tough situations.
Yeah. So taking a step back from all the snow and wind, it sounds like this deep dive is really about more than just one storm. It's about being prepared for whatever Mother Nature throws our way, both individually and as a community.
Well said. It's about recognizing that we all have a role to play in building resilience and being ready for these increasingly frequent extreme weather events.
So as this potential blizzard barrels towards the Great Lakes, let's remember the key takeaways. First, lake effect snow is a powerful force of nature, capable of dumping massive amounts of snow in very localized areas. Second, preparation is key, whether it's packing a survival kit for your car, stocking up on supplies at home, or simply staying informed about the forecast. Those actions can make a big difference in your safety and well-being.
And finally, let's not forget the importance of community. Reach out to your neighbors, check in on folks who might need extra help, and remember that we're all in this together.
Great advice. Stay safe out there, everyone. And if you're in the path of the storm, bundle up, stay informed, and maybe make a pot of hot cocoa while you wait it out.
And one last thought to leave you with. We focused a lot on preparing for the storm itself, but what about the aftermath? What steps can communities take to support each other during the recovery process? That's something to ponder as we watch this event unfold.
That's a great question to consider. We'll be back with more deep dives soon, exploring all sorts of fascinating topics. Until then, stay curious and stay connected.